So blessed Pentecost, y'all. Maybe you remember this song from Billy Joel, "We Didn't Start the Fire," right? The Holy Spirit's been around a long time. Pentecost has been celebrated since the early days of the church. We find it in the Bible, of course, and sometimes it's known as the birthday of the church. Remember, Jesus was Jewish, right? So it took a while before the community that formed around him actually became known as Christians or people of the way and became the church. In a handbook written by Francis Weezer called Handbook of Christian Feasts and Customs, there's a little spiel about Pentecost celebration in the Middle Ages. And he writes, "On Pentecost Sundays in some towns of Central Europe, people even went so far as to drop pieces of burning stick or wick or straw from the Holy Ghost hole to represent the flaming tongues of Pentecost. This practice, however," he goes on, "was eventually stopped because it tended to put the people on fire externally instead of internally, as the Holy Spirit had done at Jerusalem." You'll notice we tended to go today with wearing red and no big fiery extravaganzas. So we're going to have a little fun today, I hope, and a little quiz for you about Pentecost and why we celebrate it. So the reason we wear red on Pentecost is it is A, the color of the Blackhawks; B, it symbolizes fire; or C, it always falls close to Memorial Day, and this is the day the American Legion sells red poppies. The answer is B, yes indeed. So some of you know a lot about the Christian year. Some of you come from more liturgical traditions, and you may know that we have, for example, in Advent, the color is blue, sometimes purple, but usually blue here. Lent, the color of the season is purple, and you may see that change up here. We're getting ready to go into a long stretch called, wait for it, Ordinary Time, and the color is green. And let's just face it, most of the days of our lives are pretty ordinary, right? And that's the time when God is really working in us. But today we give thanks for Pentecost and the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, leads me to my next quiz here, next question on the quiz. Which animal is a symbol of the Holy Spirit? A, lamb; B, pigeon; C, dove; or D, pigeon and dove? So traditionally it is C. Did you know that pigeon is actually in the dove family? Yeah, I found that out one day. This is a true story, actually. The Holy Spirit sometimes takes us out of our comfort zones. And years ago when I was serving at United Church of Rogers Park there at Morrison Ashland, in a neighborhood where 66 different languages and then some are spoken in the schools, we were worshiping. It was a hot summer day, and there was no air conditioning, and I was just pouring, drenched with sweat, and I remember it was just so hot that we had those huge standing fans, and they were cranked up and blowing our papers everywhere, and all of a sudden, I looked up, and there was a balcony in the back of the sanctuary, and I looked up, and the doors had been opened to let the breeze through, and there was a bird perched up there on the balcony. And then as I'm preaching, the bird swoops down over people's heads there in the congregation. And I realized everybody was kind of looking at the bird, obviously, as it should be expected, instead of me. I've never seen a bird in a sanctuary quite like that, and I looked more closely, and I realized it was a pigeon. Right? Now, I don't know about you, I really kind of detest pigeons. They're dirty creatures. I was used in Rogers Park to kind of stepping off the sidewalk as when there were a bunch of pigeons gathered to avoid them at all cost. But there it was, Pentecost Sunday, and the sign of the Holy Spirit was a pigeon. The Spirit does get messy sometimes, doesn't it? So here's another part of the quiz. Another word for spirit is A, ruach; B, pneuma; C, a budget airline that occasionally gets you to your destination; or D, A and B and C, of course. And you may have guessed the answer is D, right? So ruach is actually the Hebrew word that's used in the Old Testament or the Hebrew scriptures, and usually used to refer to the wind of God, sort of like Jackie had the air conditioning or the fan blowing on the kids this morning. And pneuma is more the word for breath. So we talk about, you know, that hymn, "Breathe on Me, Breath of God," that God's breath is closer to us than the beating of our own heart. So God's wind is powerful, and God's breath is a sign of the Spirit as well. The next one there, the Peter who speaks to us in today's scripture and says they're not drunk, kind of a funny little line there in scripture, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning, is the same Peter who, A, denied Jesus 3 times, B, tried to walk on water, or C, A and B. It is C. So our daughter's third grade teacher, our daughter would come home and say that she always told them, mistakes are how you learn. I love that they were teaching that in third grade. And Peter learned from his mistakes and became a leader of the early church. And here he is featured in this second chapter of Acts. The truth of Pentecost and the truth of the Holy Spirit that we see in Peter is that the Holy Spirit and God don't keep us mistake-free, that's for sure, right? But the Holy Spirit invites us into a journey in which our greatest failures are often the source of our greatest learning and perhaps even our greatest gift to the rest of the world. So, going on to John Wesley, founder of United Methodism. I know some of you come from other backgrounds besides Methodists, so we're learning together. He once wrote, "My heart was strangely warmed." His words refer to the heartburn he experienced on a regular basis, his love affair in Georgia, which ended badly, or C, his conversion experience. It was on Aldersgate Street in London, May 24th, 1738, officially known in United Methodism as Aldersgate Day. And the correct answer is, it is C, indeed. You know, it is interesting to think about the fact that the Holy Spirit never stops working in our life. Do you know John Wesley was 35 years old when he had this conversion experience, something we now celebrate? He had been raised in the church, friends. He was a preacher's kid. He had learned the scriptures at his mother's feet. He was no stranger to God, but he had never before that time experienced the power of the Holy Spirit like he did that night. And he wrote this about it later. He said, "I felt I did trust in Christ and Christ alone for my salvation. And an assurance was given that God had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death." Next one. The famous symbol of United Methodism, the cross and flame, are in these locations in and around our church building. Our church sign outside. B, our hymnals, C, our bulletin cover, or D, all of the above. D, indeed it is. You can look at your hymnal or your bulletin cover right there and see it there. And those, that cross and flame became the symbol of United Methodism when we united in 1968 and symbolizes the Holy Spirit and the merger and the heart strangely warm story from John Wesley. So, next one, Pentecost is celebrated this day, June 9th, because Pentecost literally means 50, and it has been 50 days since Easter. The Jewish Festival of Weeks is another reason for the celebration. A harvest festival falls 50 days after Passover, or C, it coincides with the end of the school year for most people. The answer is... it is D, actually. And remember, again, because they were Jewish folks, they were gathered for this Jewish festival, and that is when the Holy Spirit came upon them. If you go back and look at the calendar, you'll see we are indeed 50 days past Easter. Easter was April 21st, and here we are 50 days later. And last but not least in our quiz for today, you're doing so well. The sermon title for today, Catching Fire, refers to A, Moses and the Burning Bush, B, Katniss Everdeen of the Hunger Games, C, fireside chats, in which Jesus talks with his disciples about his plans for a future church. Or D, the power of the Holy Spirit to change our lives. It is D, although some of you who know the Hunger Games know that part of the story as well, B. But it is D, indeed. So here's just a few words about Pentecost. This comes from David Loess, and I love what he has to say. He's a pastor and writer. He says, first, the Holy Spirit comes to us, just as it came to those disciples 2,000 years ago, not necessarily to solve our problems, but hear this, sometimes to create them. Think about it. Absent the coming of the Holy Spirit, the disciples could just kind of go back to their previous careers as fishermen. They were sitting there waiting for something. It was an in-between time for them in the second chapter of Acts. I can almost hear James and John explaining, sure, it was a wild and crazy three-year ride with Jesus, and he was a heck of a guy. But maybe we need to get that out of our system before he went about Dad's business and settle down. So once the Spirit comes upon our lives, sometimes we think of the Holy Spirit as a comforter, but it can also at times be a disruptor. It changes things. It sheds light on the truth. I've been thinking a lot as we gather here at Trinity about these conversations we're having together with Team 2020, and we have these conversations hosted by our Reconciling Committee as well. And I'm remembering back to the week right after the General Conference of the United Methodist Church. Some of you were there the Sunday after that General Conference. The main topic, of course, has been, you know, what will be our welcome of LGBTQ folks in that community, some of whom are already here among us, and full inclusion. And up to that point at Trinity, at least since I've been here, we'd sort of had mixed interest in that topic. A few folks would come to me every now and then and talk with me, and 10 to 12 folks gathered with Paul Brzezinski in Austin in February. It wasn't a large group. But on that February after the General Conference, do you know how many people showed up in that room that day? Some of you were there. It was over 50 folks. It was a huge number of people. I don't think it was just because we had food that day. And as I thought about that Sunday after the big vote, I'm remembering the conversation. Some people shared their testimony, shared how their own family lives had been affected, how they had come to believe the way they did. Others shared that they had gay family members, and some were quiet. Some of you were there and were quiet because you had a minority view, perhaps, you felt, but you shared afterwards in smaller conversations. And friends, I think of that day as a Pentecost moment for Trinity. I've said afterwards many times to folks that the Holy Spirit blew her cover that day, and the reason is that now we are talking about this. We are having those conversations. It's not always easy. Now long-held dreams to be more inclusive for some are being realized. Now long-held fears for some about the conflict that might be present when we talk about this stuff are also being realized. Now we are really asking some hard questions, and not just about what it means to be inclusive around gender orientation, but who we are at Trinity, and who is God calling us to be, and what is God calling us to do? And sort of like the disciples, we're kind of in that in-between place where the church as we knew it 10 years ago, 20 years ago, is not the same church. Do you know I received this stole 20 years ago for my ordination, which was 20 years ago this month, from the United Methodist Women, of course. Kathy was asking me about this earlier. And friends, the church and we are not the same. Trinity is not the same as we were 20 years ago. It's in those in-between places, though, where we remember what has been, but we're not quite sure what the future holds, whether it be in a church life and or in our own lives, that the Holy Spirit shows up in powerful ways. Reaching out and clarifying our position on things like our welcome are not the only thing that matters right now, and you know that. There are other needs around us which also have the power to break open our hearts, and that's where God is really at work. There are folks in need right down the street in schools where we send our backpacks full of food in the fall, where people are hungry and children do not have enough to eat over the weekend. There are folks struggling with mental health issues, trying to figure that out and feeling very alone right now, both within our church community and beyond. There are folks who need a place, a community where people are praying for one another and can share and be vulnerable and be accepted. Sometimes at Trinity, we have folks read the scripture on Pentecost and say it in different languages, and I love that. And we're going to do that again in World Communion Sunday to see how we have witnesses from so many different parts of the globe here at Trinity. But the miracle of Pentecost and the gift of the Holy Spirit, writer Eric Law has said, the miracle of it is not just that folks were gathered from all over the known world 2,000 years ago and speaking in different languages. The miracle was that they heard one another and they understood one another. And you and I both know that there is no greater gift than to be truly heard, right? And to be truly known. And that is a Holy Spirit gift that comes by God's grace alone. So friends, there's lots of facts and fun stuff about Pentecost and things to know. But the Pentecost moment that I'm looking for here at Trinity, in my own life, that I'm hoping for in your life and praying for in your life, the Pentecost moment that I'm looking for is the moment in which we will not only speak to one another, but also hear one another with the ears of our heart to understand and to be understood. And when that happens, when the Holy Spirit is poured upon us and that happens, we will catch fire. Internally, of course, inside our hearts like never before. I pray that that miracle may come true among us here at Trinity, and that that may be true for your life as well, for you and for me and for all God's children. May it be so. Amen.